Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. In spite of the pain, in spite of the rain, and in spite of the strain we encounter in our lives from time to time, God is still good. God is not good some of the time. God is not good most of the time. But God is good how often? All the time. And all the time, God is good. The fact that you and I are here tonight is indicative of the fact that God is a mighty good God. Brothers and sisters, I pray that we will never take God's goodness for granted, because there are so many people who would love to have this privilege that you and I now enjoy. Amen? There are many people who would love to be in the house of the Lord on tonight. And that's why we ought to always share the enthusiasm of the psalmist of old when he declared, "I was glad, not mad. I was glad, not sad. I was glad when they said unto me," what? "Let us go into the house of the Lord." It's so wonderful for us to be here on tonight. And I want to commend our devotional leaders, Brother Prowell. Didn't he do an outstanding job? Amen. Amen. Job well done. In fact, all of our song leaders tonight have just been masterful and wonderful. And this congregation in this area is just blessed to have a good number, of outstanding song leaders. And, you know, usually good singing precedes good preaching. At least I pray that is the case on tonight. Amen. And we also appreciate Brother Wallace for directing our hearts in prayer on tonight. It's good to have all of you present, particularly those who may be visiting with us and do not share in our religious convictions. We want you to know that you are a very special and honored guest. Please do not let this be your last time coming to be with us here at the Hart Street Church of Christ, a church where everybody is somebody, and God is the source of all of our blessings. It's good to have those who are preachers of the word, all gospel preachers who are here on tonight. I'm going to ask all of them to stand so that I don't make the mistake of overlooking anybody. All of the gospel preachers, please stand. Gospel preachers. All right. Wonderful. Good to have you with us. Good to have all of you with us on tonight. And I want to say, I believe I see my former roommate when I first arrived on the campus of Southwestern Christian College. This young man was my roommate, Brother James Lauderdale. I'm going to ask him to stand again. He's a preacher of the gospel, and I believe he preaches for the Church of Christ in Sparta. Is that right? Sparta, Tennessee. And it's good to have him with us on tonight. I hadn't seen him in a few years, and it's good to see him, and it's good to know that he's still on the battlefield for the Lord. I just want to say, before I forget on tonight, I've had a wonderful time this week. My wife and my youngest daughter have been with me this week, and we've had a wonderful time. I appreciate their support, and I also appreciate, once again, the shepherds of this congregation, the leaders, Brother Prowell and Brother, Daniels, that's right, for their hospitality and generosity so much, and of course, your wonderful, commendable minister, Brother Jones. He and I had the privilege of enjoying breakfast together this morning. And I appreciate on yesterday, Brother and Sister Prowell treated me and my family to lunch. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. You know, we were there at Piccadilly. All right, Piccadilly. And there was such a wide variety of choices that it was tough to choose, Brother Bonner. Amen. And that's the way I feel about the Word of God. There's so much good stuff in the Word of God. Sometimes it's tough making a decision as to where to choose a text. And I've chosen tonight the book of Revelation. I want us to go to the book. How many of you brought your Bibles tonight? All right, hold them high. No songbooks now. All right, wonderful, wonderful. All right, we're doing just fine tonight. Revelation chapter 1, I want us to look at verses number 5 and 6, and then we're going to look at verse number 18. That's the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. And I want us to look at verses number 5 and 6, and then verse number 18. You can follow me if you will. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And if you are there, please let me know by saying amen. Amen. In the word of God, amen. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. Amen. And the word of God reads as follows. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the air, of the earth, unto him that what? Loved us and washed us from our sins in what? His own blood. Didn't need the blood of bulls and goats, because his own blood was sufficient.
Yes, sir.
Verse number 6, and hath made us what? Kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion for how long? Forever and ever. Amen. And then drop down to verse 17 of the same chapter. Sometimes you'll hear people say that I was out and about and I saw the Lord and the Lord spoke to me. And I have some serious misgivings about such a testimony, because listen to what John says happened to him when he saw the Lord. If you're there, let me know by saying amen. And when I saw him, I what? I fell at his feet as what? Dead. And he laid his what? Right hand upon me, saying unto me, what? Fear not. I am what? The first and the last. I am he that what? Liveth and was what? Was dead. And behold, I am what? Alive forevermore. Amen. And have what? The keys of hell and of death. Revelation chapter 1, verses number 5 and 6, as well as 17 and 18. And for just a short time tonight, please consider with me this subject from this passage of Scripture. I love you and I'm not dead. I love you and I'm not dead. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell him or her that? I love you and I'm not dead. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, I will be pointing souls to calf. You know that too. The crimson flow will, and many arrows pierce my soul from without, within will, and but my Lord, he leads me on, and through him I must win. I'm singing now, oh, I want to see my Jesus and look upon his faith, and you know that there to sing forever, ever, and of his saving grace. Yes, and on streets of glory will let me lift up my voice, and you know that cares of hell, I'm home at last, and it
but to rejoice. Will and when before me billows rise from the mighty deep. Will and then my Lord directs. You know that he does safely keep. Yes, and he leads me gently on through this world below. And you know that he's a real good friend to me. And oh, I love him so. I'm singing now. Oh, I want to see my Jesus and look upon his face. And you know that there to sing forever and ever and of his saving grace. Yes, and on streets of glory. Yes, let me lift up my voice. And you know they care. I'm going home. Will and ever to rejoice. I'm singing now. Oh, I want see my Jesus and look upon his face. And you know that there to see forever, ever and of his saving grace. Yes, and on streets of glory. Yes, let me lift up my voice. And you know my care. I'm going home. Will and ever to rejoice. I love you. And I'm not dead.
Amen.
In 1985, there was a popular movie and somewhat controversial movie that was released called The Color Purple. How many of y'all remember? Can you wave at me this thing, The Color Purple? I remember when I was a student at Southwestern, that was the buzz on campus. I believe my roommate went to see that movie. It took me some time to go see it because I was somewhat uncomfortable with it. But as I began to examine the movie, I found that there were some significant truths, moral truths, that were actually conveyed through that particular movie. There's a scene in the movie when Celie, you remember, that's portrayed by Whoopi Goldberg, found the letters that her sister had written her. You remember old Mean Albert had hidden the letters. And so Celie found those letters.
Yes,
and in one particular letter, her sister stated, I love you and I'm not dead. I love you and I'm not dead. You see, Celie had been physically, sexually, and verbally abused by that old mean guy Albert, Danny Glover. Y'all remember that? And I believe that in some ways, brothers and sisters, if I'm allowed to spiritualize that movie, if you will, Albert can represent that old devil. Because the devil, brothers and sisters, just ain't no good. I know I said ain't, but I ain't taking it back. That devil just ain't no good. The devil exists, brothers and sisters, to destroy our lives. Jesus put it this way, the thief comes not but to what? But to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he says, but I have come that you what? Might have life and that you might what? Have it more abundantly. You see, the devil wants to tear us down. And the devil wants to do all he can to keep us away from God's love letter. This is God's love letter right here to you and me on tonight. But that old devil will do anything he can
to distract us and to keep us away from this love letter. That's why the Bible calls him a snake. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. That's why the Bible calls him a liar. In fact, Jesus said he's the father of lies. Am I right about it? John chapter 8 and verse 44. Paul called him an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 13 and 14. Paul says, and such are deceitful workers. They are false apostles, transforming themselves into what? The apostles of Christ. And then he says in verse number 14, and don't be surprised, I'm paraphrasing now, marvel not, don't be surprised, because the devil can even transform himself into what? An angel of light. And that's why I like to tell people in our religious world and even our young folk, just because something looks good, sound good, and smell good doesn't mean that it is good. Am I right about it? That's why the Bible says in 1 John 4 in verse number 1, beloved, believe not what every spirit, but do what? Try the spirits to see whether they are of God. Why? Because what? Many false prophets have what? Gone out into the world. Not only that, the devil is also like a lion. According to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, you can help me quote it. Peter said, and be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is like what? Like a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. And brothers and sisters, my contention tonight is simply this. God wants us to know that he loves us. His message in this book is that I love you and I'm not dead. Don't let anything and anybody keep you away from God's love letter. Do you hear me tonight? You see, many times we make the mistake of becoming so preoccupied with trivial matters, things that don't amount to a hill of beans. In the final roundup of human affairs, will it really matter in the end who will win the 2004 NBA Finals? Can you say amen to that? But sometimes we're so preoccupied as to whether the Heat are going to have a three-peat or whether the Spurs are going to want to win that we don't spend time with God's love letter. Brothers and sisters, don't let that happen to you. I don't know about you, but I like to wake up in the morning and hear how God loves me. I like to go to sleep at night and fall asleep knowing that God loves me, not because of, but he loves me in spite of. Can you say amen tonight? I love you and I'm not dead. Two points I want to emphasize, and then the lesson will be yours. I love you and I'm not dead. That's the message of God's love letter. I love you and I'm not dead. The first part, I love you. God wants us to know that he loves us. From Genesis to Revelation, that's the message of the word of God. I love you. In fact, when you read Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, the Bible says God did what? Created the heavens and the earth. God is saying the reason I created the world was because I love you. The reason I delivered my people out of Egyptian bondage is because I love them. The reason I gave them the law, I wasn't trying to be mean, but the fact that I gave them the law through Moses was an expression of my love for them. And then not only that, but I gave them the monarchy. I gave them the kings, even though they didn't need a king because I was the true king. But I went ahead and gave them Saul and gave them David and Solomon. I did all of that simply because I loved them. And then even in the prophets, among the prophets, the message was simply this. I love you. That's why I allowed you to go into Assyrian captivity, 722 BC. And then I allowed you to go into Babylonian captivity. But I came back and rescued you from all of that mess simply because I love you. Brothers and sisters, that's the message of the word of God. Am I right about it? It's all about God's love for us. John 3:16, the golden text of the Bible. You can help me quote it if you don't mind. For God so what? Loved the world that he did what? Gave his only begotten son, that whosoever what? Believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse number 8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were what? Yet sinners. sinners, Christ would die. It's all about the love. I'm trying to show you tonight. This is God's love letter. Follow me to 1 John chapter 3. Brother Jones, can you help me out with some reading tonight? 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. I want you to see this for yourself. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. Let's hear what the word of God has to say. 1 John chapter 3. And verse number 1,
behold.
If you're there, church, let me know, or almost there, let me know by saying amen. All right, what does the book say? Come on.
Behold.
What
manner of love what the Father
of
has
love
bestowed upon
the
us.
The Father has what bestowed,
has bestowed upon
us. Oh, that's so significant there, because it's not that we bestow love on the Father. It was who? It was the Father who bestowed love upon us. How many of us fully realize tonight, had it not been for God's love, there wouldn't even be a Church of Christ? Had it not been for God's love, there would be no salvation. There would be no redemption. There would be no reconciliation. It's all because of God's amazing love. Read on, if you will. What does the book say?
That we should be called.
That we should be called
the
sons and daughters of God. Read on.
Therefore the world knows
us not. The world knows us not. Why?
Because it knew him
because
not.
Because it knew him not. Drop down, if you will, to around verse number 16. What does the book say? Verse 16, the same chapter. Hereby perceive we,
the
love of God. Read
because
on.
He laid down his life
because he
for
laid
us,
down his life for us.
And we ought to lay down our
and
lives
and we ought
for
to
brethren.
Lay down our lives for the brethren. The love that God has poured into our hearts ought to be spread to our brothers and our sisters. Continue on into chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse number 8. Chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. If you're there, church, or almost there, let me know by saying amen. All right, what does the book say?
He that loveth not knoweth not God.
Knows not God.
For
why?
God
because
is love.
God is love. Read on. Verse 9, in this
was manifested
the love of God, toward us. Read on.
Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world.
Read on.
That we might live through him.
Come on.
Herein is love.
Here is what love is all about. Don't let the world dupe you. Love is not all about a feeling. Help me, somebody. It's not all about what these folk in Hollywood talk about. John says, here is the essence of love. What does he say?
Herein is love.
Not that we love God.
But that he loved us.
But that God loved us. Come on.
And sent his son. To be the propitiation for our sin.
That word propitiation simply means that God's wrath had fallen upon us, but because of the sacrifice of Jesus, his wrath has been turned away. The other night I talked about how that we have been delivered from the wrath of God. Can you say amen on tonight?
Yes,
but it's not because of what we've done for God. It's because of what God has done for us. And then verse 19 says, we love him
because he first loved us.
Brothers and sisters, here's the point I'm trying to get you to see tonight. This is God's love letter. This is God's love letter. Stick with this love letter. Get in this love letter and allow this love letter to get inside of you, because this love letter, just as the love letter made a difference in the life of Celie, I'm here to tell you tonight that God's love letter can make a difference in our lives today.
Amen.
Someone has said, if our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. I know you heard this before, but I'd like to go over it again, because sometimes we think that, you know, the Lord did this just to be doing something. But no, ma'am, and no, sir, if our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for divine, unconditional love. Therefore, he gave his son, Jesus, who gave his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It's all about, when you look at the cross, God is simply saying,
I love you. I don't care how low you may feel tonight. I don't care what kind of mistakes you made in your life. I'm here to tell you tonight, no person is so low that God's love cannot reach down and pick you up. Because his love is unending. His love is unconditional, and his love is unlimited. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. I love you, and I'm not dead. That's the second point. I'm not dead. Aren't you glad that Jesus is not dead tonight?
Yes, sir.
God is not dead. Jesus is not dead because God raised him up. Yes, cruel, wicked men. Follow me to Acts chapter 2. Cruel, wicked men took my master, nailed him to the tree of the cross. And yes, he died, but God. I said, but God. But God raised him up from the dead. Acts chapter 2 in verse number 24. Let's go look at it, if you will, because one of the themes that permeates the book of Acts is the resurrection of Jesus. Acts chapter 2 in verse number 24, if you will. All right, Acts chapter 2. In verse number 24, if you're there, church, or almost there, let me know by saying amen. All right, Brother Jones, go ahead, if you will, begin with verse number, back up to verse 22, if you will. What does the book say?
Ye men of Israel.
Ye men of Israel.
Hear these words.
Hear these words.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth. Read on.
A man approved of God among you.
A man approved of God among you.
By miracles and wonders.
By miracles, wonders, and signs. Come on.
Which God did by him.
Uh-huh.
In the midst of you.
In the midst of you. Read on.
As ye yourselves also know.
All right. You know this yourself because you saw it with your own eyes. Verse 23.
Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and
foreknowledge of God, read on.
You have taken
by wicked hands
have crucified.
All right, that's the bad news. Jesus died on that cross. But verse 24 gives us some good news.
Whom God raised up.
Come on.
Having loosed the pains of death.
Having loosed the pains of death.
Because
it was not possible.
That he should be holden of it.
Aren't you glad that death could not hold Jesus in that grave? Can you say amen tonight?
Amen.
You see, wicked men crucified him. This was all according to God's plan. But Jesus chose, am I right about it, to allow himself to be crucified. But even though he died, was buried 3 days, God raised him up. Why is that so significant? That lets me know that if death could not hold Jesus in the grave, death won't hold you and me in the grave. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? Follow me again to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I'm going to show you. This is a theme that permeates the book of Acts. Acts 10 and verse number 39, if you will. Follow me now because there is a word from the Lord. Somebody's here tonight, broke, busted, and disgusted, on the brink of throwing in the towel, on the brink of giving up. You need to know and understand that God loves you and he is not dead. Look at the text with me, Acts 10 and verse 39. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. All right, Brother Jones, what does the book say?
And we are witnesses.
And we are witnesses of all things. Read on.
Both in the land of the Jews.
Read on.
And in Jerusalem.
And of Jerusalem. Whom they slew.
And hanged on a tree.
And hang where?
On a tree.
A tree. Jesus died on a tree. He died on the cross. Verse number 40. What does the book say?
God raised him up the third day and showed him openly.
Yes, he died, was buried, but God raised him up. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Stay with me now because I'm going somewhere. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 28. I want you to see it for yourself. All right, Acts chapter 13 and verse number 28. If you're there, church, or almost there, let me know by saying amen. All right, what does the book say?
And though they found no cause of death in him.
All right, no cause of death. So you remember Pilate said, I find no fault
in him. How many of us can make that same declaration today? I find no fault in him. I became a member of the Church of Christ at age 11. And brothers and sisters, from that time up until this time, I find no fault in him, because he's met all of my needs. He's brought me through many dangers, toils, and snares. I find no fault in him. I've been young and now I'm getting old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. I'm trying to tell you, we ought to make that same declaration today. I find no fault in him. I can't speak for other folk, but I find no fault in him, because he's been with me, blessed my family over the year. I find no fault. Even when I've been through, you know, some ups and downs in my life, I still find no fault. Even when I funeralized my father, eulogized my father last year around this time, I still find no fault in him, because Jesus is good all the time. Can you say amen, yes, tonight? Oh, amen. Come on, Brother Jones. Come on. What does the book say?
They found no cause of death in him.
Uh-huh. Read on.
Yet desired
Pilate
that he should be slain.
Come on.
And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him,
they took him down from the tree
and laid him in a sepulcher.
And laid him in a grave. Come on. What's the next two words?
But God.
But how many of you can say, but God?
But God.
But God. But God. But God. Yes, he died a cruel, shameful death. But God. Yes, he was buried 3 days. But I'm here to tell you, but God. But God. Come on, Brother John. But God did what? God raised him
from the dead.
From the dead. Aren't you glad that Jesus lives? Jesus ain't dead. And I know that he lives. I know that he lives because he woke me up this morning. I know that he lives because we just spoke to him in prayer. I know my Savior lives. Because he put food on my table, clothes on my back. I know that he lives because he lives in my, can you say amen?
Yes.
He lives in my heart. I'm trying to tell you that Jesus is not dead. All right, one more scripture here in Acts. Acts 17 and verse number 3. Listen to the word of God. Acts 17 and verse number 3. What does the book say there? Acts 17 and verse 3. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. All right, Brother Jones, 17:3. What does the book say? All right, it says Paul was here in Athens, and it says here opening
and alleging.
And alleging. Read on.
That Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from
the dead.
And that this Jesus,
whom I preach unto you,
is Christ.
Is Christ. You see, that's why I'm so glad to be a member of the Church of Christ. Why? Because we wear the name of Christ. We don't wear the name of Moses, because Moses died and he's still dead. We don't call ourselves Buddhist, help me somebody, because Buddha died and he's still dead. We are not Campbellites. Alexander Campbell died and he's still dead. Somebody ought to help me tonight. Amen. We are not Methodists because John Wesley died and he's still dead. We're not Jehovah Witness because Charles Taze Russell died and he's still dead. But we are Christians, only and only Christians. Am I right about it? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, but today he lives. And that's why we wear his name. Am I right about it? This is not the church of Walter Scott. This is not the church of Alexander Campbell. This is the church of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And don't change that name. Can you say, turn to your neighbor and say, don't change that name.
Amen.
Amen. Preach on, Brother Robinson. I love you.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not dead. Here's what I'm trying to get you to say. When you encounter the resurrected Christ for yourself, you'll never be the same. Think about, again, I want to use this analogy from The Color Purple. When Celie found those letters and she realized that her sister was still alive, and her sister said, I love you and I'm not dead. That revolutionized her life, because first of all, it gave her a sense of confidence. You remember, because she had been beaten down by Albert. Y'all remember that?
Yes,
It gave her a sense of confidence. You remember there's a scene there. There's a scene when Celie was getting ready to leave and go with Suge Avery. Y'all remember Suge Avery? Come on now. Y'all know. I think y'all know what I'm talking about. You may need to go back and revisit that. But Celie was getting ready to leave and go with Suge Avery. And old Mean Albert said, "Nobody wants you." Trying to talk her down. Y'all remember that? And then he told her, "Nobody will want you because you're poor, you're black, and you're ugly." Y'all remember that?
Yes, sir. We remember.
And I like what Celie said. So see, Celie turned around and said, "I might be poor, I's black, and I might even be ugly, but dear God, I's here. Dear God, I's here." Y'all don't hear. That may not be good grammar, but it's good theology. Let me tell you something. When that old devil tries to beat you down, you need to turn to him. "I might be poor, I might be black, and I might be even be ugly, but I'm still here, still standing. It ain't going nowhere. You can criticize me, scandalize my name, but I ain't going nowhere. I'm still here." Y'all don't hear me. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm still here." Oh, yes, yeah. That's just when you realize that Jesus lives, you don't go around walking like this, man. Oh, like you're broke, busted, and disgusted. You don't have a reason to live. I am somebody. Not because of what I've done for Jesus, but because of what Jesus has done for me. I love you, and I'm not dead. Those love letters gave Celie a sense of confidence, and this love letter right here ought to give us a sense of confidence. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible said, "Therefore let us come," how? Boldly. That means with confidence to what? The throne of grace, that we might find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. God's love letter says, "I love you and I'm not dead," and that ought to give us a sense of confidence. I'll tell you another thing that the love letters did for Celie, and God's love letter ought to do for us. It instilled in her a sense of courage, because after she realized that her sister was still alive and that there were, oh man, just several love letters that she had written to her, she started walking around with more. There was a mannequin. I don't know if you remember that. You see my hat there, Brother Jones, there under my... There was a mannequin right under my coat there. Under my coat, I think my hat is there. Yeah, yeah. Can you hand it? You remember when Celie was walking through the house and she saw that mannequin? And it startled her at first. But see, she was a different person, Brother Bond. And she said, "Get out of my way. Is that all right? Get out of my way." She was a different one. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm trying to show you, when you know and understand in your heart of hearts that Jesus lives, you have no reason to be afraid of anybody or anything. Get out of my way, devil. When the devil brings up your past, you bring up his future. You know where his future is? His future is in hell. Tell the devil to go to hell. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Tell the devil to go to hell, because that's where he's going. I didn't say tell your neighbor to go there. I said tell the devil to go. Y'all don't hear me tonight. I'm trying to show you a sense of courage. You remember Peter. Peter denied the Lord. Am I right about it? Not one time. Not two times. But how many times? Three times. Isn't that something? But let me tell you something. There's something happened to Peter, because in Acts chapter 4, when he and the other apostles were threatened by the Sanhedrin council, Peter turned and told them, "We cannot help but speak the things that we what? Seen and heard." And then I like in Acts chapter 5, the Bible says that they were threatened again by the Sanhedrin council. In Acts 5 and verse 29, the Bible says Peter and the rest of the apostles said that, "Men and brethren, it is better for us to what? Obey God rather than men. What happened to him? He had a new sense of courage. Why did he get that courage? How did he get that courage? He got it from an encounter with the resurrected Christ. When you know that Jesus lives, you're not afraid when folk threaten you. You're not afraid when folk even try to destroy you, because you know and understand. Jesus said, fear not those who are able to do what? Destroy the body. Because after that, they have no more that they can do, but rather do what? Fear God, because he's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Brothers and sisters, when you realize that Jesus lives, you don't have a reason to be afraid. Amen. Is that all right tonight? Amen. I love you, and I'm not dead. So that the love letter gave her a sense of confidence, a sense of courage, and also it gave her a sense of comfort that my sister is still alive. It ought to give us a sense of comfort knowing that Jesus lives. Yes, he's up there at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, but he's also here tonight. If you believe it, say amen. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Oh, that ought to be comforting to us. He's with us everywhere we go, even when it comes our time to answer the call of death. Jesus will be there with us. How many of you know tonight that when you're in Christ, you don't really die? Let me put some book on it. Follow me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 in verse 51. I'm going to be closing up here in just a moment. John chapter 8 in verse number 51. These are words of it. This is why you need to read the love letter. Put that Jet magazine down sometimes. Put away that Ebony magazine and pick up God's love letter. John chapter 8 in verse number 51. Listen to this. John chapter 8 and verse 51. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. All right, Brother Jones, what does the book say?
Verily, verily.
Verily, verily.
I say unto you.
I say unto you.
If a man keep my sayings.
If a man keeps what?
My saying.
My sayings. He what?
He shall never see death.
He might see death.
He shall never see death.
He shall what?
He shall never see death.
How many of y'all believe that tonight? He Amen. Shall never see death. Now, it doesn't mean that a person won't die physically. The body may be placed in a casket, but the soul never dies. And your soul is your most valuable possession. In fact, your soul is the only possession that you're going to take beyond the grave. That's why the Bible says, for what does it profit a man to what? To gain the whole world and what? Lose his own soul. For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We live in a culture today that places so much emphasis on the physical, on making sure we pamper and take care of the body. But I'm here to tell you, what we will take beyond the grave with us is our soul. And Jesus said, if a man keeps my saying,
he shall never see death.
Doesn't that give you a sense of comfort?
Yes, sir.
Knowing that we can't be destroyed. We don't you know that we are indestructible people? Can't be destroyed by the devil. Can't be destroyed by disease. And we can't even be destroyed by death itself. That's why the Bible said, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I love you, and I'm not dead. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, don't let anything keep you away from God's love letter. This is so valuable, because this is what gives us our sense of confidence, our sense of courage, and our sense of comfort. God's
love letter. There's a verse in, can you go back very quickly to Revelation 1 in verse 5? I want you to see something here. Because growing up in this society, sometimes if you don't have a certain amount of money, you don't live in a certain neighborhood, sometimes you're not given the respect and regard you rightfully deserve. But what I love about God's love letter is that everybody is somebody in the sight of God.
Yes, sir.
And he says something very important there in verse number 5 and 6. Read it one more time for me, Brother Jones. What is it? And from
Jesus Christ
who
is the faithful witness.
Who is the faithful witness.
And the first begotten of the dead.
And the first begotten from the dead. Read on.
And the prince of the kings
the
of the earth.
The prince of the kings of the air.
Unto him that loved us.
Unto him who loved us. Come on.
And washed us from our sins.
Washed us
in his own blood.
In his own blood. Oh my goodness. And listen to this. Verse 6. Come on.
And hath made us.
And has made us what?
Kings.
Kings.
And priests.
Hold it right there. There have been times in my life when folk have talked about me. And I remember growing up in East Texas, I didn't like for folk to call me black with your black self. That used to hurt me. But Brother Proud, then I picked up the love letter. And God told me that I can be black, but I'm still a king.
Yes, sir.
Y'all don't hear me this evening. I might be poor, black, and ugly, but you're looking at a king tonight. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? When you leave here tonight, you don't call me Brother Robinson. You call me King Edward. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you know who I am? Yes, I'm a king. That's why I don't smoke dope. That's why I don't smoke cigarette. That's why I don't drink. That's why I don't chase women. I don't walk around with my pants hanging off my butt. I'm a king.
Yes, sir.
When you realize who you are, you don't let the world define you. Do y'all hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
King Edward tonight. Is that all right?
Amen.
Yes. So I walk around, oh yes, with a sense of confidence. Not that I'm better than anybody, but I'm just blessed.
Amen.
You don't let anybody talk you down. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. You don't let anybody try to make you feel lower than you really are, just as Albert did Seeley. And a lot of this happens in real life today. A lot of marriages. Help me somebody. Brothers talk down their wives. Help me somebody. Let me tell you something, man. When you disrespect your wife, you don't come up to this church building praying for us. We need to be praying for you. Your prayer ain't going nowhere. Get that stuff straight.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, in essence, when you dishonor your wife, God will cut off your prayers.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm King Edward. And that means that this is Queen Tony. Is that all right this evening? Yes. She's a queen. And I should treat her like a queen. Is that all right? Our young men treat. This is a little prince right here. What's your first name? Gary, this is Prince Gary. Is that all right, Gary? Give me a, yeah. Young ladies, they're not B's and H's and all that stuff. They're princesses. And we need to demand that our young people treat, these young brothers treat these young ladies with the respect they deserve. And young ladies, you don't allow a young guy to call you out of your name.
Amen.
Amen. You know that if anybody calls you out of your name, you have no business hooking up with that guy. That's not the man God wants you to hook up with. Because when you get married, it ain't going to get better. It's going to get worse. I know I said ain't, but I ain't taking it back. I love you. And I'm not dead. Oh, my, my, my. Brothers and sisters, if you don't take anything else with you this week, God's love letter. God. God's love letter. You remember R. Kelly? I don't know what kind of life R. Kelly lives behind closed doors, but that dude does some good music. One of his songs, "Did you get my card? Did you read my love letter? Did it touch your heart? Did you read my love letter?" God is asking us the same thing. Did you read my love letter? Did you read it today? This is God's love letter. Don't let the world define who you are. God has already told you, you are somebody. You are a king. You are a priest. The world didn't give that to you, and don't let the world take it away. Thank you for your attention this evening. I believe there's somebody here tonight who needs to be washed in the blood of Jesus. You've heard the word. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess the name of Jesus. Come down this aisle. We'll ask you a very simple question, yet a very profound question. Do you believe with all of your heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You answer yes. We can baptize you tonight. That's what I love about the Church of Christ. When folk decide to obey the gospel, we will help them the same hour of the day, the same hour of the night. Once you become a member of the church, be faithful. Get in Bible class. Attend Bible class. Get into God's love letter. Allow God's love letter to get in you. Stay faithful. Be faithful unto death. And Jesus has said, "I'll give you a crown of life." If you're already a part of God's family, and perhaps you're going through some storms and struggles in your life, perhaps you've lost your sense of confidence, your sense of courage, your sense of comfort, we're here to pray with you and for you, because there is power in prayer. The Bible says in James 5:16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray you one for another that you might be healed." The fervent, effectual prayer of what kind of man? A righteous man availeth much. I believe there's somebody here tonight, some young person, some older person who needs to come. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will. Everybody, just stand. Stand. If you need somebody to walk with you, you need me to walk with you. It's praying time, church. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed if you know you need to come. He's sweet. I know He's sweet, I know, and you know that the storm of clouds may rise, and you know that strong winds may blow, and will and I tell them wherever I go, and you know that I have found the Savior, and He's sweet, I know, and I'm singing He's a sweet, I know. I tell you, Jesus is so sweet, I know. And sometimes the storm of clouds may rise, and you know the strong winds may blow, and oh, and I tell them wherever I go, and you know that I have found Savior, and He sweet, I know, and will, and I can't forget, will and when I was sad, and you know my head was hanging down, and you know my heart feeling sad, and yes, and all I could say, will was Lord,
take my heart. And you know that Jesus came and rescued me and gave me a new start. And I'm singing here a sweet, I know, I tell you, Jesus is so sweet, I know. And sometimes the storm, a cloud may rise, and you know that strong a wind may blow. And oh, and I tell them wherever. And you know that I have found. You may be seated. May God bless you. Savior, and he is sweet, I know. And I'm singing.